no.
Not on yet.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Shovel watch. Okay, I'm gonna mute.
Okay. We will begin with the incense, the ketoret. And prior to that, we'll start with the L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud Kutchabre Hu Ishkite Bid Hilu Urkimu Uthilu Uthilu Urkimu Leakta L'Shem Yudhe Bavate V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenehu. Atahu Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yo Ahe Dawanu Heyo Eloheinu Shehikiru Avoteinu Lefanecha et ketoret hasamim Bizman shebet hamikdash kayam Kasher tivita otam al Yedei Moshe nevi'echa Kakatu betoratecha Vayomer Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu Heyo El Moshe Kaklecha Samim Nata Ushelet Behelbena Samim Uvona Zakabad Vivad Yihie We asita ota ketoret rokach mase rokea memulach tahor kodesh v'shachata mimena hadek v'natata mimena lifnei ha'edut v'ohel moed asher Be wide, Zecha Shama Kodesh Kadashim Tihielachem Wine'emar Wehiktir Alav Acharon Ketoret Samim Baboker Baboker Behetivo et Kaneirot Yaktirena Uva Alot Acharon Ed Hanerot Bain Harbaim Yaktirena Ketoret Tamid Lifne Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Ahe Dawanu He Yo Lidorotechem. Now for the information that comes from the Talmud. Tanu Rabbanan Petum Kaketoret Ketzad Shelosh Meot Wishishim Ushbona Manim Hayuva Shelosh Meot Wishishim Wachamisha Kaminyan Yemot Achama Maneh Kol Yom Veras Peshacharit Ufras Bein Ha'arbaim Ushloshamanim Yeterim Shemehem Maknis Kohen Gadol Melo Hachnav Yom HaKippurim Umachatziram Lemateshet Be'erev Yom HaKippurim V'shochakan Yafe Yafe Kedeshet He Daka Min HaDaka V'yachad Asar Samanim Ayuva Weiluchen One Hatsari, two Vahatsiporen, three Vahalbana, four Vahalbona, Mishkal, Shivim, Shivim, Mane, five more Tziksukia, seven Shibolet, there, eight Vikarkom, Mishkal, Shisasar, Shisasar, Mane, nine Koshtai, Masar, 10 Kilufa Shelosha 11 Kinamon Tisha Borit Karshina Tisha Kabin Yain Kafrisin Sein Tilata Vekabin Tilata Weimein Lo Yain Kafrisin Mevio Tamar Hivar Yam Atik Melach Sedomit Rovach Akav Ma'ale Ashan Kol Shehu Rabbi Natan Habavli Omer Av Kipad Hayardain Kol Shehu V'im Natan Badvash Pesala Vim Chisar Achat Mikol Samanecha Chayav Mita Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer Atzari Eno Ela Seraf Anotev Neatze haketav Borit karshina Lama hi va'ab Kedei liyapot Ba'et hatziporen Kedei shedei na'a Yain kafrisin Lama hu va'ab Kedei Lishrot bo et atziporen kedeshed hei aza v'chalom eraglayim yafin la ela she'en kach nisin miraglayim Bamikdash mifne hakavod Adanya Rabbi Natan Omer Yeshehu Shohek Omer Hadeketev Ketev Hadek Mifne Shehakol Yafela Besamim Eat malachatzaim. The shera lish lish ulikwilir via. Lo shamanu. Amar rabbi Yehuda. Zehachlal im kemidata. The shera lachatzaim. Im chisar achat mikol simanecha chayav mita tanya bar kapara omer achat lishishim olishivim shana haita vashel shirayim Lechatzayim Leotane Bar Kapara Ilu Haya Noten Bakorto Shel Devash Ein Adam Yakolamod Mifne Recha Belama Ein Mearvin La devash mifne shecha Torah Amra ki kosher ave kol devash lo taktiru Mimenu ishel Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu yo Yo aheda wanu heyo. From this point forward, these words should be said three times. Well, I am only going to say them once. Adonai yo hewa hey adanu yo. Yo aheda wanu heyo. Tzevaot imanu. Mishkav lanu Elohei Yaakov Selah Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yohei Dawanu Heyo Tzivaot Ashrei Adam Boteach Bach Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu Yo Yo aheda wanu heyo. Hoshia amelech ya'anenu v'yom karenu. Ata seter li mitzar titreni rane falet. Esobeveni sela. The Arval Adonai Yo He Wahe Adanu Yo Yo Wahe Dawanu He Yo Minchat Yehuda Yerushalayim Kime Olam Mukshanim Kadmoni Ok Today's class is the third in a series of classes about Psalm 67, and which is also known as the Menorah Psalm. You can find the handout on the unique astrological times link. And that's underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. Sometimes, if you're on a mobile device, it's on the bottom of the page. Once the unique astrological times link is open, please scroll down to the section titled Discussion of Psalm 67. There are three links underneath that title. Today's class, the last of the three, is Psalm 67, the Omer Kavanah. I remind you that we discussed Psalm 67 in the framework of Shaviti. And we learned that the Shaviti is an artwork, but it's also a prayer tool. The next class we learned was the menorah itself and how the letters of the Psalm 67 are produced into the menorah as part of the Shaviti. And now we are going to understand the Kavanah of the menorah, of the Psalm 67, and how it relates to the counting of the Omer. So again, it is the middle, the second of the three links in the section on the unique Astrological Times landing page titled The Discussion of Psalm 67. The blogger who wrote these three wrote this one to give us an understanding that the purpose of the counting of the Omer, the purpose of the Psalm 67 and the Menorah Psalm within the frame of counting of the Omer, is to focus on something that is greater than ourselves. The counting of the Omer is one of the most mystical rituals in Judaism. Its reflection on the elements of burnt offerings, as with all offerings and sacrifices, has been interpreted as a symbol of spiritual elevation. Both the topics of sacrifice and the ecstatic spirituality so much turned off modern and enlightened people that many communities had abandoned the Omer altogether. Interestingly, though, in recent years, the resurgence of interest in mysticism has caused such a demand for these types of prayers that you will now find them in the Siddurim, the prayer books of just about every movement of Judaism. The other prayer making an amazing comeback is the Yana Bekoach, which is usually paired closely with Psalm 67 in Hasidic and Sephardic Siddurim. This is an unwritten commentary, but the observation by the blogger is quite correct, but he doesn't recognize why. What was the purpose of the Anamakoa and the menorah psalm being included so much? What was the return and the rise of its popularity? What was the cause of that? It's my opinion. I have no factual support because I've never looked into it. But it's my opinion that the purpose of the Anabakoa, or the rise of the popularity of the Anabakoa, is part of the energy of the footsteps of Mashiach. It's part of the light that is being revealed so that the Mashiach can be brought to us with mercy and not with war. And that was caused by Rabbi Berg and his wife Karen, who taught these two things as part of their approach to teaching Kabbalah to people and spreading that wisdom of Kabbalah far and wide around the world. Continuing to read. The Arizal himself instituted the inclusion of Psalm 67 and the Anabakoa into the daily prayers and when performing special mitzvot. However, the method that was related from the Arizal through his disciple, Rabbi Chaim Vital, is how to recite these prayers was presenting in very detailed kavanot, focused meditation or intention, that's the meaning of kavanot, that were very complicated and involved. Psalm 67 is a great example, because the method most often used to meditation on this verse was not just to just read the text, but instead to imagine the 49 words being a seven-branched menorah, with each of the seven branches containing a verse of the psalm. Each of the branches relates to one of the seven sephirot that are active in the physical world, just as with each of the seven lines of the Anabakoa does this as well. The Nusach Arizal is presented by the Baal HaTanya, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, though it is a Kabbalistic prayer book, was purposely freed of nearly all the kavanot in order to focus on creating a prayer book that was appropriate for users of all skill levels. Complicated diagrams and pages of meditation material interspersed within the selections of actual prayers were put to rest. Instead, his text was complete, yet concise, as well as clear and understandable, as a true liturgical work. Though the Baal HaTanya did not include the meditating upon the form of the menorah, he did prescribe a reading of Psalm 67 and some interesting kavanot relating to it. What made these kavanot so meaningful that he felt compelled to include them? This is a question that the blogger is asking, but it's a good question that we all should raise in our own minds. What made the Baal HaTanya bring some of the kavanot, but not all of the kavanot that comes from the writings of the Ari and the teachings of the Ari through Chaim Vital? It is quite standard for most traditional Siddurim to include the reflection upon the names of the Sephirot relating to the day. Less common is the meditation of assigning one of the word or names of the Anabakoa to each day, though this sometimes appears in the Sephardic and Oriental texts. However, in addition to including the plain reading of Psalm 67, after the counting of the Omer, along with the prescribed words for declaring the day's count, one is also provided one word of the psalm and one letter of verse 5. Psalm 67 contains 49 words, and verse 5 of that same chapter contains 49 letters. There are 49 days counted in the Sefirah period, so each day one focuses on one piece of the picture for what we hope to achieve during this time of personal reflection. When it comes to the reason this chapter and this verse is chosen for meditation, the reason does not appear as clear as the reason we include the Anabakoa, which contains supplications for the removal of sin and purification. This is in line with the tone of the season. Instead, Psalm 67 starts out with a request, not a humble confession that we would normally expect during a season of personal refinement. We read the words, Elohim yechanenu ve'yaber chenu. Ya'er panav itanu sela. This is verse 2 from Psalm 67. Elohim be gracious to us and bless us. May he cause his face to shine upon us. Sela. Now we've been taught that every time you see the word sela, which does not have a real meaning translatable from the Hebrew. The word selah is a pause to reflect on the words of that verse. Selah frequently, if not always, appears at the end of the verse. So it's pointing you back to deep thinking about whatever is being said in a particular verse. Verse 2 is a request, as the blogger has indicated. But what is the request? What's the source of the request? These are words that come from the 13 attributes of mercy. So on their surface, it is a request. But it's much deeper than that. Because Hashem has told us, whenever you utilize the 13 attributes of mercy, I will forgive you. The blocker does not bring that into this discussion. Now let's look at verse 5 alone. When we read it, we find something seemingly completely unrelated at first glance. Yismechu v'rananu le'umim ki tishpot amim mishor ulumim ba'aretz panhem selah. Again, we have the word selah. The nations will be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the nations fairly, and the peoples of the earth will rejoice. Selah. Here we see the second meditation upon verse 5 seems to be a related conceptualizing human equality and the pursuit of happiness. So we have prayer for the blessings of the nation of Israel and a reflection upon the goal of universal betterment. For a start, we see that it is a good practice to be as concerned about the welfare of all people just as much as we are concerned for ourselves. It is balanced. That's a nice idea and rings true. However, the message goes deeper than that, as it is clear. If we reread the rest of the chapter in context, yes, this request seems different in tone than we would expect, but it is not a brazen request for divine favor, just for the purpose of our own security. If you're asking yourself why this request of verse 2 is so bold, we find our reason in the next immediate verse. It also answers for us why we find ourselves considering the people of Israel, as well as all the nations of the earth, in these meditations. It asks for blessing for a special reason. Lada'at ba'aretz darkecha, b'kol goyim yeshuatecha, to make your way known upon the earth, and your salvation among all the nations. The topics are not unrelated. They are completely related because we are people in need of blessing, just like the rest of the nations of the earth. However, it asks for blessing for Israel, not merely for our own contentment, but in order to enable us to make the ways of godliness known to the people of the world. It asks for blessing so we can share it with others and model graciousness. We ask for the face of God to shine upon us so that it can reflect off of us, that we be spotlighted as an example of salvation. There is so much deeper into these meditations. We just have to contemplate them. We're using the 13 attributes of mercy, and we're saying, Hashem, we have lacked, as the children of Israel, we have lacked, just as the 70 nations have lacked. And we ask you to fulfill those lacks in order that we may share with the other nations. Because we know that we have the responsibility to receive the blessings in order to fulfill our lack. But more importantly, we need to receive the blessings in order to share with the other nations. This is one reason why the children of Israel are kept small. We are a small nation in numbers. We're very large in our impact on the world, but we are a small nation in numbers. And as a small nation, how do you protect yourself? By making yourself important to the larger nations. And that is essentially what we are asking Hashem to do for us. Provide are the blessings that fulfill our lacks so that we can provide the blessings that fulfill the lacks of the other nations. But that takes a great responsibility. We cannot receive for ourselves alone. We have to grow, make our vessels larger, allow Hashem to fulfill our vessels so that we can fulfill the lacks of other people through our sharing. And that's how we protect ourselves. I'm continuing to read. So the request isn't as self-centered as it sounds. It is not necessarily a request for prosperity or even success. You will never find such hopes directly expressed anywhere in this chapter. What it does ask for us is for us to be blessed, which we all know in Hebrew means to be set apart for a special purpose. When we bless something, we take an ordinary thing, and by doing it a special mitzvah with this object, the item becomes special because it was a part of doing something sacred. The item was ordinary before, but now merely because it was used to do something special, it became recognized and designated for that special purpose. This item isn't better. It's just purposeful now and worthy of being respected accordingly. How can I be certain of this? Near the end of this chapter, the short chapter, we read, Aretz natenya yevola, yevarechenu Elohim Eloheinu. The earth has yielded her produce. May God, our own God, bless us. Now we have a good clue as to why this verse is appropriate for this season of harvest, because it references this good fortune of the reaping already taking place, and yet it still asks for being blessed, which only makes sense in the classical sense of being consecrated, and not according to the misconception of blessing as random fortune. May we think about it this way. These meditations become a beautiful way of looking at why we are going through this time of personal reflection and development during the Omer period. The reason the children of Israel went through this process of development for the 49 days after the Exodus was to be prepared to receive the Torah. We all know and recognize that. But what we are doing here in these meditations is deeply focused on the reality that the Jewish people are blessed with the Torah in order that all the peoples of the world benefit from it. We receive the light of Hashem from the Torah. But we cannot receive it for ourselves alone. It doesn't work that way. It's not an option. Rabbi Berg has frequently made the following comment. I share because I know that that is the only way I can get more. That is such an amazing statement. He's not altruistic. Sharing is not altruistic. Altruism doesn't work. We weren't created to be altruistic. We were created to receive in order to share. What is the purpose of this receiving in order to share? We have been told the answer to that question. Because we know this 7,000 year period is the second of seven of them. We are told that there were 94 generations before there was the generation of Adam. What happened to those 94 generations? Were they on the earth? Were they in the earth, the the fables, the stories, the truth called the inner earth? Or were they on another planet, another dimension? And does it really matter where they are? The answer is yes, it does matter where they are. Because as we know in our generation, in our 7,000 year period, we are to become righteous. We are to strive to become righteous. The same thing was true in their 7,000 year section. Number one, we have to recognize that we were also in that 7,000 year section. The first one. But we did not become righteous completely. We improved from where we were. We elevated somewhat from where we started. But there were people in that 7,000 year period who did achieve righteousness. They did achieve becoming a tzaddik. What was their reward for becoming a tzaddik? And you know I don't like to use the word reward or punishment. What was the effect of their becoming righteous, of their becoming a tzaddik? We are told that we will receive 310 worlds for us to be the governor. We are told that everything has a body and a soul. The sun is a planet, but it can be considered as a body. The earth is a planet, but it can be considered a body. The nine planets can be considered bodies. So where are the souls that inhabit those bodies? We all have been taught the fable, the story, the truth, called Gaia, the name of the earth, as one body. Every human being, every animal, every plant, every rock, every part of the creation of the earth is part of that one name, Gaia. Without going into the meaning of Gaia, we need to ask the question, and I have asked it, where is the soul or the body that is called Gaia? And the answer is, the tzaddikim from the first 7,000 year period were given the 310 worlds, and they are the souls of the various components of our universe of the second 7,000 years. I'm continuing to read. The two meditations, one for blessing Israel and the other for the betterment of the nations of the world, are not unrelated. This is what our purpose should be, to be worth of being blessed in order to be a blessing to others. Let me reread that. Let me concentrate on that concept. To be worth a blessing in order to be a blessing to others. This is what Rabbi Berg said. The only reason I share is because I know that to receive more, I have to share. If I don't share, I can't receive more. Do you want a blessing? Then you have to be a blessing to others. Otherwise, your blessing stays, but you get no more, God forbid. And part of growing spiritually is becoming a larger vessel, whatever that means, for Hashem to share his blessings with. I'm continuing to read. Our faith is very much tied to that of the rest of the world, the rest of the people of the world. So we need to get serious about becoming better people, because we aren't the only people that need to benefit from our enrichment. For some reason, I'm getting a lot of static, so please mute your phones by pressing star 6. Thank you. One of the reasons that I know that my message is hard to hear is when I get these kinds of electrical interferences. I'm still getting them. So I know my message is hard to hear, and I'm sorry for that.
Why are we not getting it there? That's what's okay.
I'm trying to make sure that everything is better. So I am continuing. Our fate is very much tied to that of the rest of the people on the earth. So we need to get serious about becoming better people, because we aren't the only people that need to benefit from our enrichment. What that's saying is we receive more than we need. And the only reason we receive more than we need is for us to share with others. And we need to know there is a difference between what we need and what we want. During this season, we become better people so we can be better to others. That's why the last verse sums it up simply. Yabarchenu Elohim ve'yiroto kol avsei aretz. Bless us, our God, so that all the ends of the earth will be amazed by you. It is very easy for us to just scan Psalm 67 and quickly dismiss it as arrogant and nationalistic. Or we might lazily just look at it and simply conclude that their incorporation into the Siddur was only because the body of the text has 49 words, and coincidentally a verse with 49 letters as well. Just like the Sefirah period counts 49 days. Though others might say it was just a pretty random pick, chosen because it quickly mentions the reaping of the earth's produce. That might be an easy assumption for scholars and even some general Hebrew speakers, I suppose, because a simple reading brought these ideas to mind even for me. First, read it all. Be patient with the process. Second, remember that as people who practice Judaism, everything we read has to be thought of as a way to help us make tikkun olam. Reparation of the world? If it doesn't, then we are reading it wrong. I'm going to reread this sentence, or these two sentences, with some different ways of using the English language. Second, remember that as people who live Judaism, everything we read has to be thought of as a way to help us make tikkun olam. Preparation of the world for Hashem. If it doesn't, then we are reading it wrong. During the Sefirat HaOmer, we have a moment every day for nearly 50 days to pursue personal growth in order to be a better example of goodness and be a favorable display of Torah-powered chesed, kindness, goodness, loving. If we follow through, we are assured results that will amaze everyone, even ourselves. Are you ready to make it happen? Then please join us every evening, except Friday, at the 7 o'clock West Coast hour, where we will count the Omer. Last night, we counted the 24th day of the Omer, and we made a connection to a word and to a letter, a word of the 49 letters in the Tehillim 67 in the Menorah Psalm, a letter in the long verse of that psalm. And each of those, that word and that letter, for the last 24 days, we have tried to utilize the information built into the letter and the word to grow spiritually. And we will continue to do so in the next half of the counting of the Omer period. I hope you all will join us. There are all kinds of prohibitions. If you skipped a day, you missed a day, you're not supposed to say a blessing, and other things. Because the question is asked, is the counting of the Omer one mitzvah, or is it 50? Or is it 49? If it's 49, then you can say a blessing each day. If it's one mitzvah and you miss a day, what have you done? Yes, it is difficult to stay connected for 49 days in a row. But as I have been saying to you over and over, the mitzvot are always simple. They're just never easy. Does anyone have any questions? Have two more classes today. One is at 3 p.m. West Coast time, where we will do a class, study the advanced reincarnation material from the RE. And at 7:30 or 4:30 West Coast time, 7:30 East Coast, 6:30 Central, we will count the Omer. Tomorrow we have three classes. One at 11 a.m. West Coast time, which is studying the principles of Kabbalah. One at 4:30, which is a deep Zohar class. And one at 7 p.m., which is counting the Omer and studying words from the Irie. I bid you all Shavua Tov. Have a beautiful week. Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.